Welcome back to Beyond Well. I'm Sheila Hamilton, and this is a program for people who want to learn more about our interior lives. And we all know the great benefits that friends have on our mental health. But occasionally, you'll run into a friend that just completely depletes you. Those are known as energy vampires, by the way. So what if you could do a friend cleanse to take back control of your life, to stop from being drained because you constantly give more than you receive? If your relationships are taking more from you than giving to you, then you may need a friend cleanse. Dr. Leslie Dobson joins us to talk about this unique idea. Dr. Dobson, it's so good to see you today.
Hi, you too.
I have had this experience, of course, many times in my life where I have a circle of friends, some whom I really admire, adore spending time with, and some who begin to capitalize more of your energy than you really want. Tell me the background where you came to this realization and why you developed the friend cleanse.
It's been something I've thought about largely since COVID started. I noticed that my clients were happier when COVID lockdowns were in place. And it was because they weren't forced into relationships or plans, and they were preserving their energy. They felt like they had more time for themselves. And as people started to get more social and life started to feel a little bit more normal, they were going out to these social activities or being around friends that were draining them. And then that was becoming the focus of therapy. These friends that made these bitchy comments towards them, you know, those little jabs, and it lingers. So I started thinking, I want to write this down. I want to write this little book, and I have this interactive app on my website. And I want people to be able to play with the idea that you're in control of your relationships and your energy, and you don't need COVID to be your permission. The permission is inside you, or it comes in my little book. I'm giving you permission.
I love that. I love that. One of the things that I think happens is people listen to the rhetoric that your friends are really as important as your family. It's so necessary to have friends, to have a good group of friends. And so there's a fear that, well, if I cleanse my friend list, what am I left with? How do we overcome that?
I speak from personal experience as well as being a psychologist, but what I have noticed is that when you take those toxic, energy-sucking people out of your life, or even the people who just are a little more negative, it frees you up. So there may be this period of downtime where you feel like you don't have a lot of people in your life, but it frees you up for really important people to come into your life. And then you can have the energy and the attention for a meaningful relationship that will last.
Really beautiful and so important. How do you recognize if a friend is actually taxing you rather than giving to you?
For me, it's that feeling of your energy being drained. So if you have a week ahead of you and you get to Friday, you know you have to see this friend and you're dreading it. Why? Let's step back and really analyze that. Or you see this friend and then the next following week, you just don't feel like you're there with your normal level of energy, your alertness, you know, grounded in who you are. Mm-hmm. So taking that time to step back and really analyze who's in my life and how does it impact me is a really important self-help task for us to do and frequently.
It's so fascinating too, because everybody knows that feeling of when the phone rings and you see someone's name pop up, you either go, oh, I can't wait, or, oh, this is going to take a while, right? So what does the app encourage people to do to understand who the people are and then where do you move them?
So it's a 3D, 4D sphere where it's moving around. You can put yourself as an emoji. It's very simple, in the middle. And then you can name a friend. You can say if they give you energy or they take away energy. And then you can decide on what level of the sphere you want them. Are they going to be on your inner circle or outer? How far out? Are they just going to go in the trash? And there's this little glass of your energy, which I made it pink because I love pink. And as you move people who are too draining into your inner circle, you'll see your energy go down. And if you move them out, your energy will go back up. So for me, my toddler will always be draining my energy at this stage. So I have to focus on, I have to move my life around based on him because he's the priority.
That is such a brilliant way to think about it, even visually. And I'm very curious whether or not when you've identified, okay, perhaps there is somebody that needs to go in the trash. Do you also supply the language, the how to speak about what's going on while you might not be returning the calls? I mean, one of the things that's really, I think, very difficult for a lot of people is how to manage a breakup, even if it's with a dear friend.
Yeah, so in the book is really little, and I want to elaborate and do a larger one. But being able to step back and identify the people in your life and what is your perception of the relationship. So for me, I have some friends that I text a lot, and I hope to get together with them, but it never works out. They will always just be texting friends. And so if I say to myself, okay, they're going to be texting friends. I'm not going to tell myself I'm ever going to see them. Then I'm going to keep some of that energy because I'm not going to feel sad that they never turn into what my mind is imagining.
Yeah, that makes
So
total sense.
it's that building up of the understanding. And then when you communicate that to the individual, you do that in a very simple way that you have all your evidence to back up your feeling.
Yeah. You know, this process really requires people to be in touch not just with their emotions, but with their body sensations of what we bring to one another in conversation, what we bring to one another. And I'm sure we've all have had their friends who just kind of see you and sort of dump, or see you and just sort of take, right? Take the all of the energy up in the space. Is there any way to work with friends like that who seem to be vampires, but they're still very nice people?
I think definitely. I've worked with clients on having that conversation. So either we model it like, okay, you've talked about yourself for 30 minutes. I just want 10 minutes to let you know how I'm doing, and I don't feel like my needs are being met.
Yeah,
So you
yeah.
can start to articulate it, or you can model it by saying, okay, my turn, here we go. You know,
It's
but
so
then there are
great.
people who they're just people who are too toxic and they're not for you at this stage in your life, and you don't need to work that hard
It's
and
really
keep them
interesting. I
around.
have a friend who has a rule that when people come to her with a problem or a something that they really want her to engage in, they say, "Do you want a solution? Do you want me to listen?" And I think that that's such a wonderful way to start speaking about our friendships, which we actually don't always have to be coming up with a proposed idea to make their lives better. Sometimes that's all they want is some ears to listen, but they should be going to you instead.
Yes. And I love starting sessions like that. You know, is this, are you needing to dump? Are you needing to vent? Do you want interpretations, advice, feedback? You know, what is
Yeah.
your expectation of this hour? But
Yeah.
that's very difficult to have in a friendship.
Because it's so real, and in some ways, it's a little bit more advanced in terms of communication skills, correct? Or,
Awareness, right?
yeah.
We're not that aware of the nuances in our lives outside of this session with a therapist.
Totally. So which of the things that has happened, especially in the lives of young people as they do their friendships, do you think that have been really heightened and helped by technology, and which things have really been hurt?
I do find that social media has helped in a lot of ways because it offered during COVID, especially when I was working with high school students, it offered them that connection that they had lost.
Yeah.
It offered classes, you know, academia, things that we lost, but it also increased that divide. It increased bullying. It increased a feeling of isolation and missing out.
Yeah.
So I think we are still in the process of getting our lives back in a healthy way with the internet and social media and expectations.
Yeah.
I think there was a study that came out about how children were okay if all of social media was ended, but they were not okay if it was just their account.
Oh, how interesting, because they know that other people would have it and that FOMO would still be there. That's very, very interesting. So if the school takes away everyone's account, then they're not going to have that sort of I'm missing out type experience. Yeah, that's fascinating. I've noticed as I get older that I need fewer and fewer good friends. The idea of a cocktail party to meet 200 people just exhausts me. The idea of going even to a dinner party with that awkward number 10 exhausts me. Like, I want dinner parties with four, maybe six max, you know? Is that a common developmental phase?
I think definitely with a secure attachment and a healthy entity, we can all strive to be in that place, to be able to identify how we stay grounded and how we stay authentic in the presence of other people.
Yeah.
And it can happen at any age, right? But in high school and college, we're in these settings where people are forced upon us. So I think once we get free into that professional life, it's more common. And I turned 40, I'm 41 now. When I turned 40, I just had this feeling of, I don't need permission anymore. I know who I am and I'm going to do what I want.
Isn't that a wonderful thing to finally understand that you don't really care what people think? I think that that is like one of the most profound developmental phases we have as humans, where we actually are fine with who we are. We kind of even like hanging out with ourselves, and we don't really care what it is that other people are thinking or saying about us. It's like, I feel like, well, that's when you know you've done the work, you know?
Yes, I think that's, what so many people strive for and very few get to.
Yeah.
It makes me think of that Friends episode where I think Ross says to Rachel, "Why do you care?" And Rachel says, "Because they're people."
Yeah.
And it was just this statement she made of, "I don't care who it is. I just care if anyone is judging me."
Yeah. Yeah. It's so funny, isn't it? And especially in this day and age when it's the internet, it could be tens of thousands of people who are judging you. Who cares, you know? Who cares? Are you fine with yourself? Does your significant other believe in you and like what you're doing? That it's almost all you need in some ways. So I really want to buy the Friend Cleanse and to try it and have a follow-up with you and see how it goes, because I think everybody should be doing this, culling just like you weed a garden maybe every 10 years or so, you know?
Yes, and for me, I think it's more frequent because my kids are younger. I see in a lot of people, it depends on work, developmental stages, age, children. There's so many moments where you say, okay, I've had a life shift. I need to sit back and look at how everyone's involved in my life and what do I need to maintain my energy so that I can be authentic and show up for myself and my family.
Yeah, and also just to be able to have time left for creative endeavors, which fuel so much of our willingness to, you know, be in that present moment with people. If you're kind of robbing yourself of all of those creative, fun things in life, you won't have much left to give anyone anyway. So, Dr. Leslie Dobson, it's always such a thrill to talk with you. Thanks again.
Thank you.